Hey there, Weber podcast listeners. I'm Connor Cyrus, one of the hosts of Vermont Edition, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter so you only have the good stuff. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Later in the show, we're going to meet Vermont's newest cartoonist laureate, Tilly Walden. We'll hear about cartooning as an art form, her life experiences, and why she chose to move to Vermont to pursue her passion. But first, Meals on Wheels Delivered prepares meals to Vermonters over the age of 60. There's no income requirement or restrictions besides your age. Usually, drivers deliver those meals during the week. However, to no one's surprise, during the pandemic, the need for Meals on Wheels increased by about 30%, causing resources to be stretched to the max. In just a moment, we'll hear from organizers to learn more about how they're faring amid this ongoing elevated need. Now, let's meet Ruth Wallman, a dedicated Meals on Wheels volunteer with AgeWell, serving Addison, Chittenden, Franklin, and Grand Isle counties. She delivers meals in the Burlington area. I spoke with Ruth yesterday to learn more about being a volunteer and asked her how she first got involved with Meals on Wheels.
I joined the board of AgeWell, which is the Agency on Aging for our region. And I wanted to get to know the organization and what the various activities were. And so I decided to volunteer to be a meal deliverer. And 6 years later, I'm still doing it.
So you're a meal deliverer. For people that are unfamiliar with what that is, walk us through some of the responsibilities and what that job entails.
I have a day a week. People can volunteer to do once a month, once every 2 weeks, or to be on call if there's, you know, someone is sick, which ultimately happens. I'm a senior, so I'm delivering meals to people who are my own age for the most part. And so, you know, things happen. But generally speaking, I show up at the hub where the meals for my area of Burlington are around 9 and pick up my box. And then I have a route sheet that tells me where I'm going, and it's the same people pretty much every time, although occasionally there are new people. There's always new people coming on. And my route is in the New North End, so I deliver to individual homes for the most part. Generally speaking, they're over the age of 60, although I do have some clients who have disabilities, and so they're included by contract with AgeWell. The meals are packaged very nicely in a little microwavable dish. So all they have to do is stick them in the microwave. Back in the day, they used to try to deliver hot meals, and that's just impossible. I mean, you just can't do that. You imagine all those, you know, sort of pizza delivery people around the counties. So this is a partly chilled. We deliver Monday through Friday, but people who need meals on the weekend also get a frozen one. So there's various ways that people can get their meals. So I go to each house, and now all I need to do is wear a mask because you never know. People have vulnerabilities like chronic disease or whatever, so we want to make sure they're safe.
I want to just hear about some of the relationships you've formed and some of these, you know, really rewarding experiences you've been able to have being a meal delivery person.
Well, it's really wonderful. Part of our job is to do a safety check. So we need eyeballs on the person, for the most part, or their caregiver. And I'm over the years, I've gotten to know some of these folks very well. I mean, it's been years. You know, how are your kids? How was your vacation? What's it like outside? Which in Vermont is a biggie. And we just have a nice conversation, usually at the door, occasionally just inside the door. And it's wonderful. They look forward to us, and we look forward to seeing them.
How do you reflect on delivering meals to people your own age who are in the same phase of life as you, just living life differently?
Well, you know, I'm thankful every day that I'm able to do this for them and that I don't need at the moment any help. Folks have all kinds of things that happen to them, whether it's disease or an accident or poverty or whatever it is. These meals, by the way, are free. Anyone can have them who's in the age group that we serve. So there's no responsibility for paying. So it's wonderful. I mean, people are wonderful, and bless them. We're helping them to live their lives in their own homes, which is the whole point of Meals on Wheels, is that people can age gracefully in their own homes.
Have you always been somebody that's been interested in giving back and helping people who need it?
Yeah, I come from a family of helpers. My father was a physician. My brother's a physician. My mother was a teacher, pretty well known in the community. So we always did what we could. People who haven't tried it have no idea how good it feels to be able to do something nice for someone else, whoever they are.
Can you put that experience into words?
It feels great to know that you've been able to help someone get through their day, whether it's the meal itself or just a friendly conversation, or just in the case of a couple of clients I have that don't speak English, you know, a lot of hand signals and smiling. And they appreciate it, and I'm glad that they do.
Can you walk us through maybe some of the challenges that you've experienced when it comes to being a meal delivery person?
Well, one of them, of course, is that this is Vermont, and we have snow. And when I delivered meals this week, it was very snowy, and some folks had not been able to shovel. And so there's always that. You have to be prepared for any. Other challenges are being sad when people are suddenly not on your list and you don't know how they're doing, but, you know, you move on to the next person and there's always somebody new.
How has the pandemic changed how you approach your job and how you do your job?
Well, I have to hand it to AgeWell. They jumped right on new protocols. Every week we had to figure out new ways that we could safely deliver meals, especially before the advent of vaccines. Of course, we wore masks and gloves, made sure that we didn't touch things. And people had refrigerator boxes on their front porches so that they didn't have to open the door. I mean, we went through a lot of changes in order to make sure that everyone was safe. And now that things have calmed down a bit, we're able to mostly just wear a mask and hand it to the person. In some cases, I hand it in a bag just to make sure. But it was a rough couple of years, and I'm sure all over the country people went through this.
We know that the need for Meals on Wheels increased about 30% during the pandemic. Have you, as a volunteer, felt the strain of resources this year and, you know, since the pandemic?
Not me personally, because the company, AgeWell, does such a good job of making sure that we have the resources we need to deliver the meals that are needed. I'm sure you'll hear about all the different ways that AgeWell is able to fund the meals, because, as I said, people don't have to pay for them. They're free to our clients. So we're certainly aware that there's a constant and increasing need for resources in order to provide the meals, but they're... We made arrangements a couple of years ago with a single source food preparer, which has helped a lot. And I think that we're doing our best with the resources that we have to deliver a really tasty meal to the people who need it.
You've also recruited some of your friends, so you must be really good at recruiting. Tell us about getting your friends involved.
Well, first of all, it's so easy. You know, it's a couple of hours out of your week, really. It's a couple of hours out of your week, and it's such a pleasure to be able to do something nice for somebody else. And everybody that I know who does volunteer gets a huge kick out of it. It's very gratifying in all the ways I've mentioned that you can help someone and also feel good about it. It's a great experience, and I highly recommend it. And we're doing something wonderful for our neighbors, and that's really the best.
Ruth, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your experience with Meals on Wheels. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
That was Ruth Wallman, a Meals on Wheels volunteer and a board member of AgeWell. In Vermont, there are 5 area agencies on aging that cover the majority of the state with providing meals to Vermonters. And if you're listening and want help, Vermont's statewide helpline for senior citizens is 1-800-642-5119. And listeners, we will have that number on our website if you can't write it down. And you can also find links to nutrition and Meals on Wheels programs with your area on our website. And to tell us more about Meals on Wheels, I want to welcome Chris Moldovan. She's the Director of Nutrition and Wellness and a registered dietitian with AgeWell. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I also want to welcome Meg Burmeister. She's the Executive Director at the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging. Meg, welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
And listeners, as a note, the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging is a Vermont public underwriter. Now, Chris, with AgeWell, I want to start with you and just have you tell us about AgeWell and the community that you serve.
Oh, yes. Well, AgeWell is one of those five area agencies on aging. We do serve northwestern Vermont, and we provide a variety of services to those older Vermonters in our service area. We have case management services, so individuals who work with clients to enable them to stay in their home. They might help with fuel assistance applications. They might be giving them information about Three Squares and helping them apply or find out if they're getting benefits. They might also be assisting with a home meds evaluation, among other things. We offer an INA service, information and assistance. That's through the helpline that you mentioned earlier, Connor, where we have experts available to answer questions and make referrals when older Vermonters call in. And then, of course, we have a nutrition program offering Meals on Wheels, home-delivered meals to those people that are unable to prepare their own meals or get out of their home to access meals. And then congregate meals or meals at meal sites, senior centers for people who are out and about over the age of 60 and want to socialize. In addition, we have health promotion programming, wellness programs, and an extensive volunteer program, which you heard a little bit about from Ruth.
Absolutely. So tell us what AgeWell's role is when it comes to delivering some of these meals.
Well, as an agency on aging, we are a designated recipient of the Older Americans Act funding, which is our main source of funding for Meals on Wheels. Unfortunately, it hasn't met the actual needs or the costs of the meals over the years, and it's only partial funding. So although the meals are free, we do collect suggested donations from our recipients to help offset the cost. And we're constantly looking for, fundraising opportunities and other donations to help support the programs. We write grants and so forth. So as a recipient of those funds, we then determine how best to serve our community. And in AgeWell's case, we consolidated our meal production through a single vendor, through Trio Food Service in the Rutland area. And they prepare all our home-delivered meals as well as community meals throughout the four counties we serve.
And then Meg, with the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging, tell us about the community that you serve when it comes to Meals on Wheels.
So the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging handles things a little bit differently, perhaps a more community-based model. We have 14 different contracts with nonprofits who prepare and deliver meals. And those give the opportunity for the work to be kept local. And because of the rural nature of the Northeast Kingdom, it also responds to the vast geographic area that we need to cover in Lemoyne and Orleans, Essex, and Caledonia counties. And those are a tremendous amount of miles to cover.
Yeah. And then how many meals, Meg, are y'all delivering each week about?
So when we began the pandemic, we were estimating about 10,000 meals a month. And in the height of the pandemic, we were up to about 26,000 meals in a month. We're seeing that number come down, but still in the 16 to 17,000 meals in a month numbers. And so the impact continues with us, that people have learned about the program, have appreciated the program, and found it very helpful. Certainly, given the fact that the pandemic has continued on, making us all very aware of the need to be safe and the vulnerability of older adults.
And Chris, I'm wondering, with AgeWell and the communities and counties that you serve, are you seeing a similar response high in the pandemic, and has that number come down for you?
It actually hasn't come down, but we saw a very significant increase in the need for home-delivered meals when the pandemic first hit, and it rose about 30%. We actually serve about 1,000 people every day, Monday through Friday, and with weekend meals delivered on Fridays for the weekend. And, you know, our numbers monthly are somewhere around 23,000 to 24,000 meals each month. You know, I think what happened was during the pandemic, AgeWell, as well as the other area agencies on aging in the state, you know, really wanted to get the word out that we have a service that can help and could help people stay sheltering in place and you know, helping them get by. And more and more people heard about the program, got on board, and then realized it is beneficial, and it was allowing them to stay in their homes independently and live the life that they want to live.
Now, before we get into the meals themselves, Meg, will you tell us about the role volunteers play in delivering these meals? Like, how many volunteers are we talking about?
So in our agency, we have about 150 volunteers that deliver meals. And the Older Americans Act, which was really kind of groundbreaking at the time and still continues to be, really the foundation of it was based on a lot of volunteerism, and the Home Delivered Meals program certainly has benefited from that work. People continue to, as Ruth talked about, find great passion in being able to help others. And as she mentioned, you know, a few hours a week is not a lot to get that kind of feeling. So it really has been something that volunteers tell their friends about and their communities about. And really, it's just a wonderful way to help others in your community.
And Chris, with AgeWell, how many volunteers are we talking about? And what do the volunteers that you work with, what do they do beyond just handing off the meals?
Oh, gosh. So the volunteers that we work with, first of all, I want to shout out to all the volunteers that help deliver Meals on Wheels across the state, especially AgeWell's area. But we couldn't do it without volunteers, as Meg said. We have over 800 individual volunteers who deliver Meals on Wheels on a regular basis, but another a couple hundred that do other sorts of services for older Vermonters. They might teach Tai Chi, they might be in the Friendly Visitor Program, and other different types of programs. But, you know, the volunteers are the link with the Agency on Aging and the client. So they come to the door. Of course, they're that link to, or the connectedness to, the community. They make a develop a relationship with the individual who's receiving the meals. They do that visual safety check. You know, they get to know if someone is changing, if there's been a health change or a status change kind of cognitively. What I mean by that is, you know, someone who normally greets them at the door and is very happy and chipper, and maybe they're fully dressed and ready for the day when they greet them, and suddenly one day the volunteer comes by and they're a bit confused or disheveled, and you know, maybe the newspapers are piling up on the front steps, or, you know, they just notice something's off. Those volunteers will then call the agency and let us know, and then we institute a wellness check. We look to find out if the person's okay. Sometimes they don't answer the door even, and that would constitute a safety check. And then we, you know, call the emergency contact. We check in with them. If we can't get a hold of the individual or we're very concerned, we might actually go to the police and have them visit the person's home to make sure the person's okay. So that, you know, the connectedness, the safety check, that's all part of it. You know, the slogan at Meals on Wheels of America is, it's more than just a meal. It truly is.
That form of connection is really important. And Meg, I want to get your take on this. Being in the Northeast Kingdom and a rural part of Vermont, what unique challenges do you see Meals on Wheels volunteers face?
I think a lot of the things that Ruth and Chris have both spoken about, the rural nature means that people are miles and miles apart at times. And so it's often the only person that they see in a given day and the person that helps them feel connected to the world outside. The other, you know, challenges are, of course, the inclement weather, like what we just went through this week. You know, storms come upon us, and this year we ended up, you know, dealing with a lot of ice and a lot of challenges for people trying to drive in that. And so it takes a kind of intrepid person to make sure that they're prepared and learn some skills around getting around. This year we were able to help people with yak tracks so that they were safe walking on the ice because it was really challenging in a couple of our areas. I think, I'm not sure if it was Chris that mentioned, you know, sometimes people are not able to shovel their steps or, you know, a storm might have just occurred right before the meals driver is arriving. So it becomes a complex situation. And then, of course, they get connected to the people they bring meals to and they care a lot about them. And that relationship is so fulfilling and really something that keeps the local community feeling connected with people in their communities.
I want to go to the phones and talk to Deanna in Woodstock. Deanna, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks so much for giving us this opportunity. I'm the director of a senior center in Woodstock, Vermont, and we run the Meals on Wheels program here. We're one of the many local providers that Meg mentioned a minute ago, and we serve Barnard, Bridgewater, Pomfret, and Woodstock. And I thought it would be interesting to share some of our participants' feedback on our program. I was talking to someone not very long ago who was hesitant to sign up for Meals on Wheels and thought someone else might need it more than her. But after getting a few bad burns while trying to cook for herself, she decided to give it a try. And she said that it was a lot more variety in her meals. And the hidden benefit was that her blood pressure had gone down. She was fixing for herself things that were easy to fix, like canned soup and lunch and meat sandwiches, but they were high in sodium. So her doctor was now happy, and she was actually taking less blood pressure medication. Certainly we know other stories where the drivers have literally saved a life of the person through those well checks, and we've seen that, more times than we would have liked over many years here. So I think those are the most important voices, certainly, in all of this, and I want to encourage people to call and sign up for meals if they could benefit from either the daily check or the good nutrition. I'm always concerned when we talk about increasing numbers and increasing expenses that people might feel discouraged from calling and getting meals, but that's the last thing we want.
Deanna, thank you so much for your call and sharing how people in your community have responded to Meals on Wheels. I want to go back to the phones, and I want to talk to Lisa in West Dummerston. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I just love Meals on Wheels, and I haven't had it for that long, maybe a year. But if it suddenly stopped, I would feel devastated.
And Lisa, I want to ask you, what got you to make that call? We just heard from somebody from Deanna, who said that, you know, some people are nervous to make the call. So what inspired you to get started?
You mean to call in as I'm doing now?
No. To start Meals on Wheels.
Start Meals on Wheels.
Yes.
Right. I don't know. I had a hip I guess it was my hip replacement where I couldn't move much. So that's what it was.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story with us. I really appreciate that. And Chris, as we talk about the nutrition of these meals, something that Deanna said was very important. Can you talk to us about what the nutrition options are for Meals on Wheels?
Oh, yes. Thank you for asking that question. So, you know, the thing is, as I mentioned earlier, the meals are funded through the Older Americans Act. So we're required to be compliant with the nutrition guidelines that are in that act. So as Deanna mentioned, you know, we look at variety. We include fruits and vegetables, whole grains, a good protein source, a good calcium source in every meal. In fact, every meal meets the needs of an individual, or 33%, a third of the individual's needs nutritionally. And at AgeWell, we actually have offered therapeutic diets, or diets that are sort of medically tailored to chronic health problems. You know, we have our regular diet, which is heart healthy. We have a diabetic friendly diet, a renal diet for those that might have end stage renal disease. We have a lacto-ovo vegetarian diet for those people that practice vegetarianism. We also offer lactose-free, gluten-free, and then we have two texture modifications, puree and mechanical soft, or fork tender foods. So if an individual has, let's say, multiple issues, chronic health problems like diabetes, and they have dentition problems, problems chewing and swallowing, and they're also lactose intolerant, they could get a diabetic lactose intolerant meal that's mechanical soft, and it's delivered right to their home. So these medically tailored meals actually enable an individual to manage their chronic health issues independently at home. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to support an individual in their home. And as we know, by the year 2030, it's estimated that 30% of Vermont's population will be over the age of 60. And many people, as they age, unfortunately, develop many chronic health problems.
Now, Meg, one of the things that Deanna brought up was that clients are worried about resources and taking meals from someone else. How do you respond to people who are listening who might be worried about taking a meal from somebody else?
The meals programs are really based on individual need, and we are the champions of reaching out and figuring out ways to work with our meal providers to ensure that no one is turned away that meets the criteria for the home-delivered meals of being over 60 and having a need for that kind of support. And so I would tell people, we do tell people all the time, that that should be the least of their worries, that what we'd like them to do is try them and see how they experience them, and then we take it from there to help make sure that we can support the meal sites in the needs that they have to continue to grow and care for those in their region.
And Meg, for people in the Northeast Kingdom, how can they sign up for Meals on Wheels? Like, where do they start?
So they would start by calling the helpline number, the 800-642-5119. That's our statewide number, but any of the area agencies on aging statewide would be able to assist people in getting connected for home-delivered meals, or to learn about community meals in their area.
And Chris, I want to get your take on volunteers, and what should people who are interested in volunteering, what should they know before they get involved?
Oh, gosh. So, you know, volunteers or people that might be thinking about it, if they have a couple hours a week, if they have some time, or maybe they have a special skill or gift that they want to share. Sometimes we have volunteers that, you know, visit clients in their home and they play cards, or they might help with art projects or photography. And other times those volunteers maybe just want to share their lunch hour and go out and deliver meals and distribute them. At AgeWell, we have an extensive orientation program, training program. So all you have to do is call us, the 1-800 number, that's the helpline, and we will get you set up with one of our volunteer department staff, and they will answer any questions and get you scheduled for an interview.
And we have just a few moments left with the two of you. So, Meg, I want to give you this question. March is March for Meals. Meals on Wheels, biggest month for fundraising. What does Meals on Wheels mean to you, and how do you promote it in a way that gets people excited?
Meals on Wheels is often one of the first ways that we see people accepting some help and assistance in supporting their desire to live home in the community. And March for Meals is a great way for us to highlight the value, the importance, and the experience for people, both from the consumer standpoint, but also from the volunteer standpoint. We do a lot of information sharing and storytelling during the month of March to share how wonderful those volunteers are, how much appreciated their commitment is, and also from the perspective of people who are receiving meals, that they are feeling so supported and are able to, as Chris talked about, receive a healthy meal. And that's such a critical piece that started so many years ago, and it's really tremendous to see us sitting here talking about a program that's 50 years old, that is still going strong, and the pandemic really for the Area Agencies on Aging and all of the meal providers really shone a light on a system that is well-developed, well-supported, and was able to stand up to the need immediately.
And then, Meg, in 30 seconds, what does Meals on Wheels mean to you?
I think you meant Chris.
Oh, sorry, Chris. Yeah, sorry.
In 30 seconds. Oh, my gosh. Meals on Wheels is such an amazing program that provides a nutritious meal, connection to the community, a safety check to many older Vermonters and Americans across the nation who need just a little bit of a step up to manage and stay at home and live that independent life that they always dreamed. Meals on Wheels is just one step, one cog in the wheel, if you will, of services that the Area Agencies on Aging offer. And it's such a meaningful, wonderful program that I'm honored and really full of joy every day when I go to work and I'm able to work with such a program, such a group of people and wonderful, wonderful volunteers and clients.
That's Chris Moldovan. She's the Director of Nutrition and Wellness and a registered dietitian with AgeWell. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We also had Meg Burmeister. She's the executive director at the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging. Meg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. We're happy to be here.